tonight. If you want to get your Bibles out tonight, 1 Kings chapter number 18. I was asking the kids at school today, got to do opening. I love when I get to do opening and just spend extra time with the students and just have a, try and help them start their day off right. And I just enjoy it. I love our school. I love the kids in the school and just love spending time with them. The little people, their answers are always unique. And I was asking a bunch of kids, what your favorite, thank you. I said, can you go get me a bottle of water? Or so he brought me a bottle for water. So thank you. Appreciate that, bud. So I was asking the kids what their favorite stories were, and a bunch said David and Goliath, David and then Joseph and Daniel and all the girls, Esther and Ruth and jail, the 10 spike through the head, all the girls loved that one. And then Nehemiah, everyone has kind of like a assigned seat, so Nehemiah is up here. He just raised his hand. He's like, what are we talking about? It was just so funny. But I was asking him that because in 1 Kings chapter 18, it's one of my favorite stories. And I say story, but it's not. Story makes it almost sound like fictitious and make-believe. One of my favorite events is 1 Kings chapter number 18. And here we have Elijah. And the battle between God and the enemy is always the same. God wins. Yeah. I love it. I mean, when we look at the story of David and Goliath, why do we like it so much? A young boy, 5 smooth stones, right? A Goliath that's defying the armies of God and God himself. And man, that thing just sails just perfect, just right. Was David that good? I don't know. I think that God's that great. Or Joshua and Jericho and just, this unlikely crowd just walking around doing what God says and blow the trumpets, shout real loud, the walls come tumbling down, and you see things like that, and it just seems like the Lord enjoys using improbable circumstances and people to demonstrate his might and power. People like Nehemiah, right? Here's a guy that is in captivity and yet had a hand in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. A man like Gideon, who's found on the threshing floor and hiding from the armies of Moab, and God uses him with 300 to slay the entire army. How about the disciples? I'm going to give you the greatest message ever told to a bunch of fishermen, a tax collector, a trader. God says, yeah, that's what I use. I just use everyday people. Improbable circumstances because that allows me to demonstrate my power. Our story here is no different. This is a favorite, but I wanted to encourage you here tonight. God is powerful. And 1 Corinthians chapter 18, we've used this phrase. I keep saying Corinthians. I'm sorry. Go to 1 Kings and don't turn to Corinthians, all right? If at any time I say except for point number 2, there is a reference to 2 Corinthians, but otherwise you should be in 1 Kings 18. We have a troublemaker. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab's the king, saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Well, what's the trouble? Well, Elijah did say it wasn't going to rain for a number of years. And if you can imagine, when we don't get rain around here, the difficulty of just everyday life, how about years? Imagine just 6 months no rain. We're in Africa. And what is that like when there's no rain? Everything turns to dust. It's dirty. It's messy. Nothing's growing. There's no growing. And then imagine another 6 months. And then another 6 months, and then another 6 months. That's only 2 years. You have to add another year to that. 3 years, no rain. That's a long time. So Ahab says, are you the one that's causing trouble? I love the boldness of Elijah. That's what I think I like about, one of the points I like about this story, this event so much, is Elijah's almost sarcasm and just unwilling to cater to the king. Verse 18, this is what Elijah says to Ahab. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Elijah says, the problem isn't with me, buddy. You're the one that has gone against the commandments of God. I just delivered the message to what God said judgment would be upon you. Pretty gutsy to the king. The troublemaker. You know, the world would love to cast blame on the problems of this world being tied to the believer. You know what's wrong with this world? All of those Bible-believing Christians. Intolerant. No. The problem is when you go against the commandments of God. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But here, this is what happens. We gather both sides. I love that, though. Elijah calls out Ahab. He says, the problem's you. Verse 19, now therefore send and gather to me. This is Elijah telling the king what to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. So here's the assembly here. We have all of Israel and the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. This is the scene that is set. In verse 21, he says this. Verse 20. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And such sad phrase. And the people answered him not a word. Elijah stands up, he gathers the prophets of Baal on one side, he gathers the nation of Israel on the other, and he says, how long ye halt ye between two opinions? Hey, why don't you choose a side? If God's who he says he is, follow him. If not, go after Baal. And they answered not a word. Remember when David showed up? Is there not a call? Why is no one standing up? Why is no one saying anything? Goliath defies the armies and the nation of Israel. And David's like, hey, you can't talk like that. Someone's defying God, bold-faced, and the nation of Israel. We're not going to say anything. Elijah's fed up with it. He says, hey, what you going to choose? Remember Matthew chapter 6? No man can serve two masters. For you, either he will love the one and despise the other, or he will cling to the one and do something bad to the other. He cannot serve God and mammon, it says. We could turn there, but for sake of time, we won't. Hey, you can't serve both. Are you going to serve Baal, or are you going to serve the Lord? Who are you serving? Can we ask the same question? Turn with me to the wonderful book of 2 Corinthians. See, that means we're on point number two. Pastor, you said point number two was going to be... Yeah, here we are. Point number one was the troublemaker. Number two, the choice is yours. I feel like Christians are at the same place. Hey, we got the enticements of the world. Hey, is God really who he says he is? And we have a bunch of Christians answering not a word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hey, why are you serving the world? Elijah's asking. Is God who he says he is, or is the world all that it cracks up to be? And unbelievably, the nation of Israel didn't know how to answer that question. And I wonder if that same mentality has crept into our church, into our hearts, into Christianity. Hey, is this world really, is it really as bad as it say? Is God really who he says he is? And we can't figure it out. We can't figure out who to follow. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, if the Lord be God, follow him. In a little while, that phrase is going to become personal. He says, if the Lord be God, then follow him. Let us follow our story. The choice is yours tonight. Who are you going to follow? Here's the showdown. We have the nation of Israel versus the prophets of Baal. Really, it's Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. So we've got two offering tables. We have a cow cut up, an oxen cut up on either side. Look at verse 24. And it says, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. See, now it became personal. He's not just, hey, you better let him be God in your life. We can go throughout this life. God is still sitting on the throne. He's still in charge. He still runs things. But have you allowed him to be God? See, what does that look like? That means he has control over your life. He has jurisdiction over your life. He has say over your life. Have we allowed God to be God? There's a lot of fathers and mothers in their homes that aren't acting like fathers and mothers because their kids won't let it. And that's a shameful thing. You know what? Same type of thing with the Lord. As believers, we're not letting God do what God does. Let him be God. Do you hinder the Lord from being God in your life? Oh, he's still in charge. He still keeps it all going. But are you letting him be your God? Are you letting him call the shots? Are you letting him work miraculous works in your life? First, we saw a troublemaker. Number two, we saw the choice is yours. Number three, the showdown. Here we see the mocking of the enemy. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, and for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. And that's just what they heard. Nothing. But there was no voice. Nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar that was made. Good time for fire to come down, I would say. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Here's my Elijah sitting off to the side. Maybe he's got like one of those lawn chairs. You know, maybe he's got like a little iced tea or something off to the side. He's just watching all this, sitting there. Elijah has some comments. And Elijah said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure, he sleepeth and must be awaked. Trash talking, 900 BC. He's like, And they cried aloud. He's like, you need to cry out louder. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's sleeping. So they did what he said. They cried aloud. Look at this. And they cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets. Hey, there's a movement right now amongst our teenagers and young people that when they're overwhelmed with life, the enemy comes by and says, you need to do yourself harm. One of the saddest, most heartbreaking things you'll see. See lovely young ladies. They have scars across their arms because they couldn't handle the anxiety and the stress that this life pursues. Oh, that they would turn to the Lord. Hey, God's not in that. There they cut themselves till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Do you know why? Because there is no God like our God. Baal has no voice. He has no ability. Just as much as this thing right here does. Elijah said unto all the people, he says, all right, I have things to do this afternoon. We need to get this going. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar on the of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and he cut the bullocks in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. How long has it been since it rained?
3 years.
3 years. And he's having them fill 4 barrels with water and pour it upon the burnt offering, or the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. How much would one of those barrels be worth? And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And did it a third time. Ever try and burn wet wood? Rick, ever try and burn wet wood? How's that go? Not well at all. If you get a fire hot enough, you can put a piece of wet log on there. If you get anything hot enough, you can burn anything. My kids will be like, Dad, can that burn? If you get a fire hot enough, that will burn. Well, they soaked this thing in water. And the water ran about the altar, and it filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. See, that's real God. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their back again. Turn their heart back again. Elijah wasn't looking for fame. He was looking to make God known. And what happens? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. What was left? Nothing. How hot was that fire? To consume stones? That's hot, Mr. Parrott. I'm sure there's a number, but I don't know what it is. Look at verse 39. And all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, And they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Tonight's message is called "The Lord, He is the God." And we will end with this one thought. Go to Acts chapter 4. We'll end here. Do people see God working in our life in such a way that when God does things, remember, God enjoys using improbable circumstances and people to demonstrate His might and power. You and I are those candidates. You and I are what He likes to use. He doesn't have to use us. Anybody see the moon on the way in tonight? Whoa. Amazing. I'm calling Joe. I'm like, "Hey, you gotta check out the moon." He's like, "Whoa. Amazing." He doesn't need me. Mr. Parr, this is amazing to me. We were talking about this afternoon. The sun and the moon, the sun is a million times larger than the earth. The moon is smaller than the earth. Yet in our sky, they look about the same size. Isn't it amazing what God can do? Just the details. I'm just gonna make these two celestial bodies look about the same in the sky. Amazing. He doesn't need you and I. But He chooses to use you and I. That when He does a work through us, that people will say, "The Lord, He is the God." Amen. What is the Lord doing in your life that says, "The Lord, He is the God"? Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Underline those two words in your Bible. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Does anybody recognize that you have been with Jesus? Hey, there were prophets of Baal, and they were shouting, and they were screaming, and they were calling on their God to shout, bring down fire on that altar, and it was completely silent. But when the man of God stood up and said, "God, You told me what to do, and I need You to show up right now and do what You said," and whammo, fire. And everybody looks at that and go, "We believe this guy." So what are you doing? Say, "Can we call down fire? I mean, that would be really cool. There's some people that I would like to show that to." You just do. He said, "I'm just doing what every word that God has told me to do." And when we do that, the Lord, He is the God. No one said Elijah was the God. Hey, if a guy can call down fire from heaven, you'd think if they're worshiping trees and animals and fish, they'd worship this guy. But no, no. What they took away with? The God of Elijah. He is the God. As we read this, is there any evidence in your life that you've been with Jesus? And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confirmed among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." When people are around you, can they? There's something special about them. God's all over them. Their God's the real thing. What is the Lord doing in your life that makes people say, "The Lord, He is the God"? Say, how do I get that? By doing what He tells you to do. Following Him in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. Follow the Lord. Remember when the bid to follow God was presented? And they answered not a word. I don't know. These are God's chosen people. We are God's children. It shouldn't be a fight for us to follow the Lord. Hey, be different than this world. Be starkly different. May your conversation, may your action, may your care, may your love, may your joy, may your peace just blow people away. That they know that you've been with Jesus. Let's all stand. The Lord, he is the God. No doubt. Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serving God is your choice, just like the nation of Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for who you are. God, we want people to see you working in our life. God, help us to be obedient. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to trust you. Lord, help us to live a life of faith. Lord, we need you to work in our life. We need you to work through us. Lord, give us strength. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Good night. Thank you.